Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you. It is Friday. It's at like 12:30 p.m. We just went live. This is episode 1476 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And the reason why I'm doing the timestamp is if any new information comes out about Mikal Williams, this is before that has come out. So we're going to talk about the injury to the 49ers first round pick. We're going to be covering kind of preseason expectations as we are on the eve of the 49ers' very first preseason game. We're going to be talking injuries. We're going to be talking about who is the best rookie so far through 49ers training camp? What to look at? Major stock up, guys, plus questions and answers, you name it. And I do have to say to all of those who celebrate, happy Jeff Fisher Day. It is August 8th, which means 8-8, baby. That's some 8-8 or 7-9 BS for those of you who celebrate. One of the best all-time lines from Hard Knocks. Can't wait for more Hard Knocks tape to come out. But Jeff Fisher, congrats, salute to mediocrity and always being average, never being good. Just wanted to say, throw that out there. It's awesome. Want to say thanks to everybody that showed up on the hashtag CCs. What's up, Gabriel? RTP, Matthew, my guy. Appreciate you, man. Everybody showing up. Monkey Boy, Tim Ford. I love it. I love it. I love it. And as always, I'm a little bit bad about this, but if you have questions slash topics, throw those up in the chat. Make sure to at me. That way I can pay attention to, you know, make sure to get to as many questions as possible. I can never get to all of them, but this is your show. And so I'm always trying to make sure to navigate it back to what you guys got going on. What's up, Roberto? He says, who's going to the game tomorrow? This is going to be the only preseason game I miss. I'm going to be celebrating with friends and watching at a sports bar. I never get to go to a lot of sports bars to watch Niners games, so I try to every single year for the preseason. I love the preseason. Bobo hates it, and that's okay. I'm glad that you are here, Bobo. Gabriel, it's Friday. Chapman is on, and the Niners play this weekend. Let's go. That's right. What's up, Felicia? Appreciate you so much. Who the hell is John Chapman's? Nobody good. What's up, Badger? Appreciate you, man. Yeah, feels like grind out day with the injuries. The Niners can't get past it. And, you know, it's funny. Like, I just put out a simple picture at training camp yesterday of the Broncos stretching, the 49ers doing their dynamic warm-up, whatever else. And I was like, man, I've never seen the 49ers stretch. I've never seen them stretch. Do their static, you know, going through the lines and doing your high knees and heel kicks and all that stuff. And I understand the science as a coach. I personally do believe in static stretching. I know everybody's going to call me an idiot. The Niners don't do that ever in the Shanahan era. They just don't. Now, they've been through four different strength and conditioning staffs, but the one thing that has remained constant has just been the amount of injuries. The 49ers have been a top 10 injury team every single year but one, and that was 2019 was the one year under Shanahan we were not one of the top 10 most injured teams in the NFL. And so I didn't necessarily say this is why. I was just like, I think it's interesting. The Broncos choose to stretch. The 49ers don't. The 49ers are one of the most injured teams in the NFL year in and year out. Does that correlate? The question should be, is that, you know, causation versus correlation? We're using my statistics background here. I don't know. I just wish the Niners would do something different. Now, if the team would have stretched, would that have stopped the Mikal Williams hyperextended knee? Hell no. Is that going to stop, you know, broken fingers like Jordan James? No. Concussions like Marquis Siegel or Darrell Luter Jr.? No. Both those got cleared, not concussions. But I do think that it could help with the hamstrings and the calves and the soft tissue stuff. That is the stuff that drives me crazy. And the 49ers have more soft tissue injuries than any team in the NFL. Now, I will say the 49ers have missed, and I'm kind of like knock on wood here, you haven't had the catastrophic ACLs and Achilles and stuff this year so far. I'm not one of those big people that believe in curses, and I'm sure I'm going to get the emails, you cursed us, whatever else. Chapman doesn't have that much power, I swear to you. Trust me, I have no power in my own household, let alone the injuries that take place on a grown man's body who I've not talked to. So I'm not that powerful. I know somebody, y'all believe in that stuff. I knocked on wood, you know, multiple times. We're safe. But it's just problematic to me when you have the same recurring issues over and over and over and over again. That's what bothers me. And again, I'm not saying stretching would help. I understand the science of the dynamic versus static. I get it, but it really does bother me. It does bother me. What's up, JD? He says, man, glad to catch you live. It's been a while. Hey, appreciate you guys, man. And it's fun seeing the names. I know you guys, it's hard to get riled up for the countdown and all those kind of things and whatever else. But, man, yeah, it's fun to see the names start coming back in the chat. We've been doing this a while. Again, this episode 1,476. We are working on our ninth year, going into our 10th season of doing this podcast and all that stuff. And so, you know, I know a lot of you guys. Rick, appreciate you, man, from Chicago. You're the man. Yeah, I like this hat, too. Shout out to the faithful UK chapter. They are the absolute best. Can't wait to hang out with them. They're going to be coming over for a couple games this year. We're going to be tailgating together at the 49ers Rush Road Trip. So pumped about that. Yeah, liking all these compliments to the hat. You got the Union Jack behind the SF symbol, which I freaking love. Ooh. I want to design my own hat. I'm kind of want to design my own stuff a little bit. Not because I want to sell it, but just because I'm like, I know what I like, and other people don't like it too much, but like I like simple and just clean. But I do like this hat a lot. Appreciate it, man. Big Brick says, call me old school. They should probably do some team stretching before their dynamic warmups. I'm with you 100%. I am team old school. And whenever I coached and I was the head coach, yeah, we stretched. We did dynamic warm up. We'd go through that. Then we'd stretch a little bit. Then we'd practice. And I understand you should dynamic before, static after. I get it. But I'm just saying, It bothers me. Gabriel, what's up, man? He says, also looking forward to listening to Larry K and John C tomorrow morning. That's right. Me and Larry have been texting. We are going to be recording tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So join us. If you have questions, as always, reach out. You can email us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com, whether there's anything out there. B Fish, what's up, man? Was happy to hear that some of the rookies showed out yesterday. Can't wait to see them in action in the game. Let's talk about the rookies that are kind of balling out. And thankful, you know, one clip went out there of Alfred Collins, you know, having an awesome one-on-one rep and getting penetration and whatever else. It was cool. It was fun to see. I thought that he played relatively well in team. Nothing too amazing, but he's not going to be the splash type player that a lot of other defensive linemen are going to be. He is a guy that clogs the middle and makes it hard to run. That's what he does. So just raises the degree of difficulty for the opposing offense, lowers the degree of difficulty for linebackers and other defensive linemen whenever he's out there. That was awesome. But make no mistake, the best rookie on the 49ers team right now is number 20, Upton Stout. He's the best. Mikael Williams, even if we throw out the injury, whatever else, he's awesome. You know, if I had to rank how the rookies have performed so far, and again, we haven't played any games. We made it through one joint practice, training camp, whatever else. Hey, I'm going Upton Stout, number one rookie producer. Number two, Mikael Williams. Number three, this is a shock. I'm going three is not the shock. Three is CJ West. Four would be the shock, and that would be Jordan Watkins, which I love. And I was not a Jordan Watkins guy. He was not in my 340 players graded. But that dude has shined repeatedly. Will Shanahan trust him early? I don't know. I don't think so. But I love what I've seen from Jordan Watkins. The amount of separation he's creating underneath, that is something we never saw on his tape at Ole Miss. He was a vertical stretcher only, which he's done that as well. You saw him burn Patrick Surtain in one-on-ones for a deep touchdown. That would, like, you're in some rare category, you know, comparisons when we're talking about that. Like, a lot of guys don't do that. And again, how he has been against physical kind of redirecting, he was terrible at that, Ole Miss. When guys got their hands on him, it was just like, man, play's over. Man, he's being physical. You're getting contested catches. You're getting separation on slant routes. Jordan Watkins would be my number four. Then after that, I'm not quite sure how it would go. Maybe you want to throw in Sebastian Valdez. Connor Colby, I'm not too pumped about. I don't think Alfred Collins has done enough to merit like a stock up. I don't think that's the case. Nick Martin, definitely not. He shows what he could do on special teams in the run game, but major liability in pass pro. And here's the problem. You cannot, when teams rely on so many rookies, yeah, you drafted 11 rookies, but you didn't fulfill a lot of the depth pieces in your roster through free agency, you're not going to have a 50% hit rate. And the jury is 1,000% still out on all 11 rookies and the undrafted free agents. Just because their stock has risen in this short amount of time that we've seen them, they haven't played one damn game yet. So, like, yeah, you're excited about Upton Stout. You're excited, you know, about Mikael Williams. You're excited about C.J. West and Jordan Watkins. They ain't played yet. And just because other players have underperformed, you know, Nick Martin, a lot of people thought would be starting week one. That's not happening. I'm telling you right now, that is maybe some injuries happen and then that catapults him. But he has not ascended the depth chart by any stretch. He really, really hasn't. That doesn't mean he's been bad. It's just sometimes we got to pump the brakes. And whenever teams and fans rely so much on rookies who have never played in the NFL, dude, that's detrimental to your health. Because, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen the Javon Kinlaws. We've seen the Trey Lances. We've seen the Dante Pettis. We've seen Ty Davis Price, Trey Sermon. We've seen Joe Williams. We've seen Jalen Hurd. We've seen. Like, to have a 50% hit rate is uncanny. You're talking Hall of Fame worthy general manager front office. If you have a 50% draft hit rate, you're going into the Hall of Fame. And you look at the 11 draft picks the 49ers, you know, drafted, you got to be able to pump the brakes. 50% is amazing. If you can get 30%, that's good. And I think the 49ers have done that. And if you do get Upton Stout, Jordan Watkins, CJ West, and, you know, we're talking Mikael Williams, if those four hit, good Lord, that is a badass draft haul. Now, if Alfred Collins can play his role, if Marcus Siegel can go into, if Jordan James, you know, these guys can be role players that develop into something. Jury's still out. I know it's early, but these are the guys we're watching. And, man, I want to see Upton Stout. I think he is, somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, I think Upton Stout's the very first hit on the third-round comp pick. The 49ers have had the most third-round comp picks of any team in the NFL by a long shot. Cam Lawton, Jake Moody, Danny Gray, Ambry Thomas. Not third-round pick, I understand. Fred Warner is a third-round pick, but we traded for that in the Solomon Thomas trade with the Bears. That wasn't a comp pick. I'm talking about these extra picks that the 49ers have got from losing coaches and losing general managers and front office people. You've missed on every one of them. Cam Lawton, one of the biggest misses ever. Jake Moody, huge miss. Maybe he turns around, becomes all-pro kicker. I'm going to hold my breath on that. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Danny Gray, huge miss. Ambry Thomas, he's probably the closest to a hit out of those. But, man, I'm telling you right now, Upton Stout, whew, that dude seems like an absolutely freaking home run. And I could not be more excited for what he has to bring. I freaking love him. Everybody's glowing it. You hear Fred, you hear Sala, you hear Kyle Shanahan, what it means to be a pro on and off the field, reaching out to Kaywan Williams, Shark Baby. Like, oh, I'm telling you, that dude fits. Now, if you're a D-gen like me and you want to bet the 49ers preseason game, you are in a class of your own. Okay. Now I do have to say this. The 49ers have the largest spread week one against the Broncos of any preseason game. The 49ers are 7-point underdogs. So the 49ers get 7 points. So I personally, this is my problem, I went into alternative lines because I never bet the even numbers. And I took 49ers 7.5. So if they win by 7, you still get paid. I just put $5 on it. It makes it fun. But if you are going to bet, whether it's the preseason and you're like me, a D-gen, or you're going to bet the regular season, which a little bit more predictable, there's only one place you can go to do it. Man, this is our 8th year with MyBookie. I love these guys. Your fantasy league pays bragging rights.
MyBookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds, already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie. All right, got to take time to say happy birthday to my man, the legend, Paul Hope. I'm sporting the hat because of Paul, good friend. He says, it's my 45th birthday on Sunday. My 54 jersey at home just arrived all the way from across the pond. Happy birthday, brother. Appreciate all that you are and all that you are have come to represent. One of the coolest chapters out there. I love it. Absolutely love it. Right here, man, Jax. What's up, Jax? She says, John, do you think Upton Stout could be a Pro Bowler? I would probably never recommend. I don't ever like want to take a bet on a Pro Bowler rookie ever, but the nickel position is turning into one of the best positions in the NFL. Like, college teams have put a premium on this because college teams do a lot of five wide. They'll do four wide, five wide, empty sets, whatever else. It's like a 7-on-7 passing game. And, you know, one of my core, like NFL is interesting because it's like a trickle up, not a trickle down. The high school football affects what they're going to do in college. And then what they do in college affects what they're going to do in the NFL. Just look at Chip Kelly. There's Jeff Hafley. You can go on and on and on. College affects what happens in the NFL. It's not the other way around. Todd Monken. I mean, good Lord, you just look at all of the coordinators at the college level and how they have been the major innovators in the NFL, not vice versa. So the adaptation of so many spread offenses, I mean, shoot, you can go watch middle school football and they're in 11 personnel now. They're in 10 personnel now. Like, that's crazy. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be wing T, power eye, fullback, double tight, all that kind of stuff. It's simple. No. Like, you're getting reads from quarterbacks in 7-on-7 middle school drills now. And so all that to say, you're getting a lot more slot corner development and a lot more corner development at the high school college level. And now the NFL is paying corners as such. But, man, you look at kind of that slot nickel corner. To be a Pro Bowler, you got to be kind of top five, top six of your position. Now, it can sometimes get skewed because AFC will be loaded or NFC will be loaded, whatever else. Yes. Is Pro Bowl an option in Upton Stout's future? Yes, it is. Is that going to happen this year? No, and I know that's not what you're asking. But, yeah, you're seeing, I mean, that dude's out there locking up freaking Ricky Pearsall. And the only issue with Upton Stout and the reason why he fell to where he was is the dude's 5'8". He's 5'8". And he's like 180 pounds. Dude's tiny. But we have seen guys that fit that mold, whether it's a Jalen Petrie or a Buda Baker or like Kaywan Williams. That is starting to be able to be an issue and to be able to be effective, is a better way to say that, in the NFL. I freaking love that dude. I love what he brings, and it's just hard not to watch him out there. Like, I'm watching 20. If 20 is on the field, I'm watching 20. My eyes are on Upton Stout because it's just so damn exciting. The attitude, it doesn't matter how big he is, the footwork, the ball skills. Yes, yes, yes. Now, the question's going to come, and this is, you kind of got to wait. In the 4-2-5 system that the 49ers and Robert Saleh run, you amplify that even more whenever you run the wide nine. That nickel has to be a run stout, basically hybrid linebacker. It's called a nickel backer, right? He has to be a edge support that teams will isolate on, because they'll come out in 11 personnel, which that means three wide receivers. A lot of teams are going to be a nickel in that, but, you know, 10 personnel or whatever, it doesn't matter. They're three wide receivers. You want your nickel guy out there usually. Can he be a stout kind of BC, that backside B gap run defender against quality stud Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker Jr.? We're going to see a week one. These bigger size backs. He's got to come up and prove that he could be that stout run game non-liability. Now, the aggressiveness is there, but we're not going to the ground. And even in the joint practices, they're not going to the ground. Well, guess what? Preseason, you're going to the ground. In the regular season, you sure as hell are. Can Upton Stout be stout enough to handle those bigger backs? Which, man, you have them all in your freaking James Connors in your division. Again, Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet. Then you go down to, you know, the Rams. I know Kyron Williams isn't a big back, quote unquote, but he runs stuff. Like, that's the litmus test if Upton Stout could be a Pro Bowl caliber guy. To stay on the field, you got to be able to help in the run game of the 49ers scheme. 4-2-5 wide nine, you've got to. You got to be able to come down and help in that backside B gap, which is alleviated. Now, the good news is C.J. West and Alfred Collins are going to help. Mikael Williams is going to help if he's healthy. Make that job a little bit easier so it's not just a straight-up ISO play on the undersized nickel backer. But every single team, whenever they're going through tape, they're going to say, hey, coach, did you know there's a 5'8", 180-pound guy that they're using as a backer and a 4-2-5 and a wide nine-gap scheme? Every team's going to test that with their biggest running back, period. You have to. You'd be an idiot not to. So can he sustain that? The 7-on-7, the coverage, he's passed that test with flying colors. The attitude, the work ethic, the studying, the approach to the game. Kyle Shanahan said he's like the pro on and off the field. Yes, 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 yes. Can he be stout enough to handle those big backs and those one-on-one ISO settings? That's what we got to see. Jax, appreciate you. In the super chat, John, your show was the first show I saw 3 years ago. So thank you for always giving great content. You rock. See you in Seattle, man. That's so kind. Jax, I consider a friend. We have partied together. I remember that Dallas game. I see David Wallner in the chat somewhere. We were hanging out. We threw an awesome party for that Dallas game when we just sloughed them. Every single Cowboys fan left at halftime. They were getting blown out so bad. We literally benched Brock Purdy in the third quarter. It was one of the best times one of the best games. My despisement, I don't know if that's a word, but we're talking Cowboys, so vocabulary doesn't need to apply here. Yeah, I hate the Cowboys more than any other team. Seahawks would be two for me. But yeah, I dude, Jax, legendary. Legendary. Can't wait to hang out with you again in Seattle. I'm pumped. Frank Gore is going to be there too. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, that was awesome. Right here, Bobo, thank you. Upton Stout just needs to hold the running back until the help arrives. That ain't how Upton Stout plays. And I'm thankful for that. That dude wants to hit. And that could be problematic, but we're going to figure it out. And he's got to figure it out. I hate that we have such a reliance and dependent upon all these rookies, because if Upton Stout doesn't, let's say he gets injured or whatever else, do you move D'Amador Lenore inside? Do you go with Trey Brown, who's kind of getting those number two reps at nickel right now? I think you would probably put Trey Brown there first. He's another small guy. He's missed 39 games in 4 years. Like, but we got to see what that's going to look like. That's what we've got to figure out. Right here, I love watching them leave early. My favorite part, we were walking out the end of the game, and there was a Cowboys fan just sitting down on the bench with a bag over his head, the brown paper bag, and it was just like, yeah, at least they know. and the Cowboys can't get their revenge this year. Yeah, I mean, maybe they make the playoffs and we do, but the Cowboys haven't gotten past the divisional round, I think, in 34 years. I think that's right. Like, yeah, I'm not concerned ever. What's up, Rusty? Man, appreciate you guys. I love it, love it, love it. Paul says, you got to dance to Journey. Don't stop believing with Frank in Seattle, John. We all can't live your dream, Paul. I know you got to do that when Frank Gore came over to London and partied with you guys, but maybe I'll give the DJ a couple bucks and we'll see. We'll see what happens there. yeah, we'll play that out. Now, Just a couple other injury things that I wanted to touch on, and there's a lot. You know, obviously the Mikael Williams, no new information on that. But the two quotes that Kyle Shanahan put out, the initial scan came back good. They're thinking a couple days to probably a week. I think it's going to take a little bit longer. Like, dude, just let that dude heal up. Give him 2 weeks time. The biggest issue for me and Mikael Williams is that it's his left leg, which was the same leg as the high ankle sprain that he got in week one last year in college that, you know, he played through because he's tough as hell. But you don't like the multiple injuries on the same leg. I don't like that. And David Wallner says, believe me, John can't dance. That is correct. I have no rhythm whatsoever. I can play guitar. It doesn't mean I won't dance. I'm just not good at it. You get enough tequilas in me. Yeah, everybody going to see the moves. It just, I apologize for them before and after. But I ain't scared. It's what it is. Jordan Elliott, that's another big loss. He's got a back issue. Who knows how long he's out. I mean, Kalia Davis is starting. Kalia Davis is going to be a starter. And CJ West is going to be a starter tomorrow. That's your ones. Kalia Davis is awful. Like, he's not good. Hasn't been good at any point in his career yet. But he's the veteran presence in the defensive tackle room. You have undrafted free agents, rookie undrafted free agents, as your number twos. Like, and Shanahan said it. I think we've lost five defensive linemen this week. Good gosh. Like, stacking injuries is always the issue at positions. You're doing it at running back. You're doing it at wide receiver. You're doing it at corner. Now you're doing it at defensive tackle. You lost Kevin Givens, who was the most seasoned vet in your room. He's out long-term. That's probably the most significant injury the 49ers have had this offseason. And then you lost Jordan Elliott, your number two vet guy. You have no vet guys. Kalia Davis is not a vet. It's his third year in the NFL, but his first year was a full red shirt. Missed a lot of the second year. Like, yeah, you got two rookies. It's CJ West and, you know, Alfred Collins. But, dude, that is the least amount of experience defensive tackle room in the NFL. It's not even close. That is an issue. That is an issue. Oh, look at this. We got Don Burr. Detroit versus everybody. Appreciate you, man. Glad that you are here. Wish you Detroit Lions the best luck. We don't get to play them this year. But maybe in the playoffs. Maybe. Playoffs. But yeah, love Don Burr. He's a true fan. Appreciate you. Unlike Cowboys fans, he is a true fan. Marquis Siegel, concussion, checked out. Okay, that's good. Darrell Luter Jr., concussion, he checked out. Okay, that's good. Darrell Luter and Kalia Davis, again, those are just two guys that I'm just like, you can't cut them because you don't have the bodies in the room, but they're just, they're not good football players at this current state. They're just not. And maybe that changes, and you're betting on their development long-term, but these are guys that have been with the 49ers for three seasons and are so bad at almost all times. Like, and that's the problem whenever you don't replace with veteran backups. You know, I'm not talking top-tier money. I'm talking about, like, again, I was watching the Eagles against the Bengals preseason game, right? And they go out and they sign guys like Adoree Jackson to come in and compete for the fourth, fifth corner. Like, he's not fighting for a starting spot, but they are buttressing their roster with veteran depth. Niners didn't do that. They did at safety. They did at quarterback. That's it. That's it. At linebacker, you want to throw Luke Gifford. I like that. He's the number three guy there. More of a special teams guy, but I like that. So it just kind of, you know, issues, and this is what you get. Like, obviously nobody, oh man, Cowboys injury, this sucks. Guard Rob Jones just got placed on season ending IR due to a broken bone in his neck. Yikes. So, like, dude, I hate all injuries, including the Cowboys, which I hate the Cowboys, but I don't want anybody breaking their damn neck. The Niners have been somewhat fortuitous with, haven't had any of those yet. They've had a lot of nagging, pesky injuries, hamstrings, calves, whatever else. Trying to find bright side. Rashawn Slater, that's an all-pro Pro Bowl left tackle, one of the top three left tackles in the NFL, out for the year. Patella tendon, that might ruin his entire career. I don't want that to be the fact, but, like, patella tendons, people don't come back from. Man, I hope he does, because I loved Rashawn Slater. He was in the top 10 of my draft that year. Like, I love that dude. But if you're trying to find the quote unquote silver lining, it's, hey, you haven't had major catastrophic injuries to this point. Knock on wood. Like however you want to, my dog's going to go crazy now. Shouldn't have done that. But yeah, that's a big deal. And shout out to Rusty, because he's been bringing this up for years. Health and fitness crew must be partying in the cafeteria when the pregame practice warmup should be happening. They've changed staffs four times. But it just continues to be a thing. And even before Shanahan showed up, like under Chip Kelly and Tom Sula, we were some of the most injured teams in the NFL. I don't know. Is it the water? Yeah, don't know. I'm not smart enough to understand, but it is an issue. It is an issue. And also, Jordan James broke his finger. He's going to be out. He had to have surgery. That's going to affect how you carry the ball. Running backs carry left and right, and he's a good pass catching back. But, like, these are reps that he needs right now, especially with freaking Isaac Rendo out, who's always out. Like, who's our running back too? I can tell you who it is. It's Patrick Taylor Jr. He's going to be starting. Like, if you want to bet, if you're a crazy person that bets, like, side bets and prop bets in the preseason, Patrick Taylor Jr. is going to get 10, 12 carries. Like, him and Amir Abdullah are going to get a lot of carries. Corey Kiner as well. But I'm telling you, those are the – Patrick Taylor Jr. is our tight end, our running back two right now. And he's going to get overworked because CMC ain't going to play in a preseason game. That ain't going to happen. Ugh, it's frustrating, man. It is frustrating. Now, if you are going to the preseason game and you do not have your tickets, or if you're going to any game ever, this is where you got to get your tickets. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. All right, now I want to talk about five players that are major stock up that aren't rookies. And again, we're going to start with the guy we just left off of, Patrick Taylor Jr. There's something to the trust factor with Bobby Turner and Kyle Shanahan. When you have a running back that you can just trust, that knows the scheme, knows the blocking assignments, knows the pass releases, knows the shifts, knows the audibles, knows. Patrick Taylor Jr. has that. And Kyle Shanahan was on record saying, I wish we could have got him the ball more late because he was so effective. They gave Isaac Garrido all the chances. And then, you know, once he kept getting hurt, Patrick Taylor kept stepping up. But you had Jordan Mason, you had CMC, you had Isaac Garrido. But Patrick Taylor Jr. is more consistent at everything. He's not as explosive. And so this goes into, you know, my philosophy as a coach. I want consistency. I'll take singles all day. I love Tony Gwynn. Like, the Tony Gwynn approach, I'm all in. I'd prefer somebody that's going to get 4 yards every single time as opposed to somebody that's going to get 2 yards or 8 yards every single time. No, I want consistency. And that's what Patrick Taylor brings. The trust, all those things. And, man, yeah, at this point, go get Jeff Wilson. I've seen posts about Tevin Coleman. Like, that running back room, Amir Abdullah has looked really good. I don't see how he's going to make the roster, but he is doing everything. He's making plays out there. Amir Abdullah looks good. But yeah, you need something because you've got Corey Kiner, Amir Abdullah, and Patrick Taylor Jr. That's it. Jordan James ain't going to play. Isaac Garrido ain't going to play. CMC ain't going to play. You got three running backs. And man, you get a couple more injuries, you're going to run them into the ground in the preseason? Yeah, I don't. You need another back to hand the ball to. I don't know. Dallas Flowers. Have to talk about Dallas Flowers. In any podcast, ask questions about Dallas Flowers. Number 35. That dude, he's playing some damn good ball. And as much as I love Upton Stout, right now, if you were to ask, man, nah, I can't say that. I think Dallas Flowers is playing more consistent, and he's a vet. He's played a lot before. But they're not practicing D'Amador Lenore in the slot at all. So, like, the idea of, well, just slide Demo down to the slot and leave Dallas Flowers or Renardo Green out wide, I don't think you can do that because Demo hasn't practiced in the slot at all. Now, he's played a lot. I know he knows the calls or whatever, but 49ers aren't practicing that at all. They're acting like that's not an option. On the inside, you've got Trey Brown, or Upton Stout 1, Trey Brown 2, Jacob Robinson, really struggling. They're trying him outside. That was not good for him. But, like, I don't know. We'll see what happens there because Dallas Flowers is balling out as your number three corner. The one thing the 49ers did is they said, look, we're going to get a bunch of corners and a bunch of bargain bin corners that nobody else wants. Dallas Flowers, Trey Brown, you know, there's a lot more, but those two are the ones that have kind of shaken out as the top guys, Eli Apple, whatever else. And they said, one of these guys has to pan out. Darrell Luter Jr. fell to the bottom of the boat, like right off the bat, just terrible. But that dude just looks so clean. His top end speed, that's my favorite thing about him, is he might be the best corner at the deep ball on the 49ers roster, and that might be included D'Amador Lenore, which is crazy. His top end speed, Dallas Flowers, is just impeccable. Big Brick says, Dallas Flowers looking good. It could also be a punt/kick return guy. He hasn't been back there to return punts, which I think is weird. I wish he was, but kick return, yes. Yeah, he was one of the better ones out there. And so, yeah, right here, Mike says, Krug is still pumping up Luter. We'll talk about that because, I mean, he's been the worst player on the field. The worst player on the field. And, you know, he got the concussion. They checked him out. He was okay. But, like, that dude's getting torched by everybody. Every time in one-on-ones, if you see a wide receiver wide open, you're going to see Darrell Luter in coverage. I'm just telling you. And it's so bad. Yeah, I don't want to say this. But, like, he tucks his jersey up so you can't really see his number. And that's smart because he's probably not getting near as much critique out there because you can't see his number. He's hiding it. A lot of players do that. I'm not saying that's why he's doing it, but it's pretty smart from him because it's rough. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow on the Krug and chat. I don't know what our show's called. It doesn't have a cool name yet. But I'm on with Larry Kruger. We'll talk about it. Oh, it's bad. Luke Gifford, man. That dude's a starter. He's your special team stud. You're finally going to see what it's supposed to look like with what the 49ers paid for with DFF. Like, he's tough. He's mean. And my favorite thing about Luke Gifford, number 57, I don't like that he's wearing 57, but obviously you're not going to retire 57 after Greenlaw, but I'm a little emotionally attached. If you guys know, you know. But, man, you see 57 out there. That dude, he might have some of the best football IQ in that room, and that's saying a lot because Fred Warner's there. I'm not saying he has more than Fred Warner, but he's up there. That dude knows the play every single time. Like, he understands what's coming, and you saw it against the Broncos too. So, like, there was a comment earlier last week whenever I was hyping up Luke Gifford. Well, of course, he has the answers to the test. It's scripted, whatever else. Dude did the same thing against the Broncos. I don't think that he has the ceiling of, like, a top-tier linebacker, but whenever you have so many damn rookies and replacement parts on this defense, it's nice to have somebody that has the football IQ and awareness and watches the tape and experience in this league to just understand this is what we're going to do. And I understand what play is coming. I know what my role is. I might not be the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, the best coverage guy, but I know where I'm supposed to be at all times, and I'm going to damn well do that. That's huge, especially whenever you're pairing two hyper-athletic linebackers, amazing coverage linebackers, and Fred Warner and D. Winters. Well, let's throw a guy that doesn't have the elite athleticism, but IQ is off the charts. And so I'm just Luke Gifford. I love that signing. I freaking love that signing. And when that contract came out and they paid him $2+ million, like I bookmarked it and I said, don't be shocked when Luke Gifford is starting week one, and all my mentions were like, you're insane, and it was Nick Martin this, Nick Martin that, Tatum Bethune, and D. Winters, and blah, 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 blah. Cool. I was like, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. Well, here we are. Luke Gifford's going to be started. Nick Martin ain't taking that job from him week one. I think eventually, obviously, Nick Martin, you want him to start as a third round backer, but you can't put him out there. That dude, he's a coverage liability. He's great against the run, great special teams, amazing energy. Man, like, it's so many positives with Nick Martin. But in today's NFL, you cannot put him out there as such a major coverage liability. I don't even think Nick Martin's the linebacker four right now. I think that's Tatum Bethune. Curtis Robinson might be linebacker five. Now, Nick Martin's making the roster. I'm not trying to say he's a, you know, not good, or that's all I'm saying at all. I'm saying there's a major deficiency in his game that he is not quite ready for. And I've seen that against his own team, and I sure as hell saw that against the Broncos. They were picking on him. The twos were picking on him in coverage. He made some great plays in the run, and I love Nick Martin. We had him on the show, and dude's freaking awesome. But I'm telling you, when you have those major deficiencies in your game, this is a passing league. This is a passing league. And you best believe Clint Kubiak and Seattle Seahawks are going to be throwing the ball. Now, they want to run, and they're going to try to establish a run and all those different things. I totally get that, but you can't put them out there yet. You can't put them out there yet. And yeah, Matthew, right there. That's the difference between winning and losing. You got to get rid of those deficiencies. And he has those right now. And it, like, I honestly don't think, like, here is the, my, this is John Chapman's take on the linebacker depth chart. Okay. Fred Warner, tier of his own, God tier, one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game. Now, second tier, all by themselves, D winners. That dude is, you might have two of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL, and D winners of Fred Warner. But those two guys, separate tier, gigantic gap. Third tier, Luke Gifford, Tatum Bethune. Next tier, Curtis Robinson, Nick Martin. Next tier, Jalen Graham, Stone Blanton. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of where we're at. That's kind of where we're at. That, like, Nick Martin ain't there yet. Not saying he won't be. And this preseason, I bet he's going to play probably some of the most snaps of anybody. Nick Martin better play nonstop. Let him learn. Let him grow. And maybe he, you know, gets to that point. Obviously, you want him to take the job away from Luke Gifford eventually. But you're going to stay with the whole idea of, dude, this guy ain't going to cost us the damn game. Thank you, Matthew. This guy ain't going to cost us right now. Right here, Leo. We practice without Green, Ayuk, Trent, and Juwan, and lots of rookies who are playing against the other team for the first time. I'm not worried about. Yeah, I don't think, I'm not one of those, the sky is falling, whatever. You know, I would always say this, you know, after practice or after games or even after plays. You don't let one bad play beat you twice. You don't let one bad game define your season. You don't let one good game define your season either, even if that's a rivalry game. It's never, like, however good you think film is, it's not going to be as good as you thought. And however bad you think film is, it's not going to be as bad as you thought. Ride the middle. Don't do the ups and downs. Grow, progress. What can you learn from this? Take it and move on. It was first day of an inner squad practice, or not inner squad, but, like, you know, joint practice against the Broncos. That's not going to define the 49ers 2025 season. It's not going to. It is not going to. Are there some things you can take away from it? Sure. But, you know, just like the 49ers had a lot of guys not playing, so did the Broncos. Now, obviously, we're more injured than most, but the Broncos did have Drake Greenlaw. They didn't have a lot of guys out there. But again, they're not, they stretch, so they're not as injury prone as we are. I don't believe in that statement that I just said. I'm just trying to poke a little, just got to be a little bit of a jerk there. Sorry about that. Anyway, I apologize. Maria, appreciate you, Maria. John, will you be at the Texans game? You bet your rear end we will. The Texans game might be the biggest, largest party we have ever thrown. We have rented out an entire parking garage for the 49ers rush road trip. I am super excited about the Texans game. Man, it's going to be epic, epic, epic. Now, right after this break, we're going to be talking about offensive line. Is there cause for concern on the offensive line? right after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, let's talk some offensive line. Big Brick, who do you see being the weakest links across the offensive line? The first answer is very easy. That's Jake Brendel. Not that Jake Brendel, the consistency factor on moments of importance, Jake Brendel crumbles. If it's a goal line, third and one, whatever, the lack of any functional strength at the point of attack, he's one of the most athletic linebackers in the NFL. He's one of the smartest smartest centers in the NFL, not linebackers, obviously. Sorry. Smart, athletic, durable. That's what he is. What he is not and has never been, and why he was an undrafted free agent, journeyman, all that stuff. He has major deficiencies, and that is at the point of attack and short yardage. He is awful. He's so bad. So that is the number one issue. Dominic Pooney's great. Colton McKivitz has elevated his game, coming off his best career game. Now, is Colton McKivitz a top five right tackle? No. Is he a top 10 right tackle? Maybe. Jake Brendel's the 34th best pass blocking center in the NFL, and there's only 32 teams. Like, that's the issue. Against strong, stout point of attack, and again, you've got Kobe Turner, you've got Leonard Williams, like, gosh, so many damn players in this division alone, Byron Murphy, that just eat Jake Brendel's freaking lunch. That's the issue. Now, the second issue is Ben Bartsch. And Hugo, you expected Ben Bartsch to get some reps in tomorrow's game? I am. He's been working with the ones pretty much exclusively. Yeah, I think that's going to be, I want to see that. That's the only spot on the offensive line that's up for any type of competition. It's Ben Bartsch versus Nick Sakel. Connor Colby's not in the competition. Matt Hennessy's not in the competition. It's a two-man race. Nick Sakel, you want the pass rush, or Ben Bartsch, you want the run blocking? You got to pick what you want there. Right now, Ben Bartsch is in pole position, but that's the only one that's up for debate. Those two right there. Tommy, appreciate you, man. He says, Burford is trash. O-line looking dreadful. No worries. every Tommy comment you have to read with the highest degree of sarcasm turned up to 11. I love Tommy. He's the best. Burford's a swing guy. He's not even a swing guy. He's the backup left tackle. You're going to see a lot of Spencer Burford tomorrow. He's probably going to play the entire first half. And our backup linemen are not great. Not a lot of teams have a good backup left tackle. Now, Austin Pleasance, the backup right tackle, I do want to see play, and I want to see kind of how that's going to pan out. But we haven't seen Burford play left tackle. We've seen him play right guard. We've seen him play left guard. And we've seen him play at a high moment, but his consistency has always been his issues. You have Chris Forster talking about that. If every player reached their ceiling, not named Trent Williams, Spencer Burford would be the best offensive lineman. You look at the frame, the athleticism, the strength, the hip flexibility, all those different things. Burford has them all in spades. Consistency just has not been part of his game. Consistency has been the issue. So if he could get more consistent, man, it's going to be hard to do. Denver Broncos D-line is no joke. And he's going to get a C. And if he plays well, man, you're talking about a $15 million payday per year. You already saw Jalen Moore do it. You just got to do what he did. Prove that you can be that. And the Niners haven't been given Burford reps at left guard at all. He's left tackle exclusively. We're going to see if that's going to pay off. But expect some bad plays. Expect some bad plays. Yeah, everybody's agreeing the biggest liability is Brendel. Yep, Brendel. A lot of Brindle. Agreed, Brindle. Burford is an okay guard, but tackle, yeah, I think we'll see. He played left tackle at University of Texas San Antonio, the Fighting Roadrunners, but we'll see. Crazy Juice, definitely. Brindle. Rusty, if Brindle can just stick with the play until it's actually over, maybe we see a better play overall. Just stop quitting. I can't stand quitters. I can't stand it. Can't win with them. Won't do it. Won't do it. Yeah, that's where it is. Paul, look at this question. How much sway does Kubiak have in the war room as the OC? Little to none. But Kubiak is going to be calling the plays, which I think is fun. And I like it anytime Shanahan loosens the reins a little bit. I'm excited for Kubiak out there to be calling the plays against the Broncos. It's going to be fun. Try some stuff out. I like it. I like it. Jam says Jones may not survive with Brindle at left tackle. Yeah, we'll see. That's why we got the preseason games. I hope he does well. Right there, Bucky boy. Going to learn today. That's right. You're going to learn today. Oh, Kenneth, my man. So wonderful to see you in the chat. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Look at David Waller still talking trash to the Cowboys fan. You would look better in a Cowboys hat, much better. I have a true Cowboy hat, not a Cowboys hat. I ain't wearing that. I don't want any of my money going to Jerry Jones. And shame on every Cowboys fan for blindly trusting an owner that doesn't care if you win or lose at all. All he cares about is jersey sales and that, and that's what Cowboys fans give to. Like, it's weird to say Jed York, like, at least tries this year, maybe a little less so, but I think Jed York cares if you win or lose. I don't think Jerry Jones cares at all. He just cares about money. That's the only thing Skeletor cares about. That's what it is. Now, as far as expectations for how much players are going to play, Shanahan said, quote, don't expect to see a lot of them out there, end quote, talking about top-tier starters. Now, in the past, last year in that first preseason game, about 11 snaps the starters got, but don't expect to see CMC or Trent Williams or any of those guys. Maybe about 11 plays for some of the starters, and that's it. This is going to be mostly your twos get almost the entire first half. Your threes and fours get almost the entire second half. Still a lot to learn, but yeah. Right here, Chapman, burn that Cowboys hat unless you're significant. It's not a Dallas Cowboys hat. It's a true cowboy straw hat. I'm from Texas. You got to have at least one or two of those. It's what it is. Let's get Sebastian Valdez learning how to play left tackle. You know, Sebastian Valdez is one of the players that I watched most at practice yesterday. I thought that he had a couple shining moments, but like the burst and the strength is there. He's got an anchor. And so if you're like one of the Sebastian Valdez hive, he can't get washed down in the run game and duo, which happened a lot yesterday against the Broncos. So you can call it inside zone, whatever. I don't want to get lost in that argument, but it's not so much can you get the splash positive plays? Can you limit the big negative plays? That's what gets you playing time. That's what gets you trusted enough to play in the regular season. So I know everybody wants to say, oh, well, he had a sack, or well, he did have a sack in practice. But like, I'm just saying these are the conversations that I think coaches care more about than media or whatever. The negative plays are what's so damn important to keep you off the field. If you can limit those and be somebody that's reliable and consistent and trustworthy, then you get playing time. So it's not for guys like Sebastian Valdez. It's not so much can he be in the backfield and get pressures. That's part of the equation. Can you limit the negatives? Can you not get washed down out of the B gap or the A gap in the run game? And he didn't do that yesterday. He did not do that yesterday. So that's kind of the stuff you want to see. And again, back to the idea of what to expect playing time wise, Shanahan said, quote, we have a lot more open spots this year, end quote. Back to that idea of you don't have a lot of veteran depth. You're banking on rookies. 11 rookies, 6 undrafted free agents. You're betting on those guys to win spots. Last year, almost all the spots were defined. These are our starters. Now it's not the case. Now it's not the case. So you've got to see what some of that looks like. Monkey Boy says, I love this. Excited to see Gifford on the field. See that experience shine through. Yeah, maybe he goes out there and lays an egg. He's been awesome in practice, but you got to do it. There's And this was always the case. Like, we would get through practice or training camp, two-a-days, whatever you want to call them, and then you go into, like, your first scrimmage, and, like, you have guys, like, written in ink. This is our starter. This dude, every day, he's incredible. And then those lights turn on, and you get Ronnie Bell, right? Ronnie Bell is a damn good practicer. When those lights come on, can't catch to save his life. There's just sometimes guys can be amazing practice players, but when those lights turn on, even preseason lights, something about it, it affects everybody differently. You're going to see some of that. So guys like Luke Gifford, Dallas Flowers, right? D winners like Patrick Taylor Jr. that have been these all practice studs. Can it now translate to the games? You got to check that off, because you might have had that guy written in pen, like I do Luke Gifford, but if he comes out and stinks it up in the preseason, well, now it's going to be in pencil. How are they going to show up? How are you going to perform when the lights are on? And now we're going to get tape, and I am so excited. I need new tape. I need it in my life. And if you want to support the show and you like what we do, I appreciate the likes and the subscription, all that stuff. The way I feed my family, and it's very simple, the49ersrush.com. That is our subscription service, and our Patreon. Both links are in the description of this video. Every single offense, defense, special teams play for the past 3.5 seasons. We're going to have every single offense, defense, and special teams play broken down, all 22 coaches tape, all year long, including the preseason. All that's going to be available for you guys. So 7-day free trial. Go sign up now. That is how I feed my family. I hope that you enjoyed this show. I'm pumped. Tomorrow we got 49ers football, guys and gals, and everybody that's watching. I'm freaking pumped. You guys are the best in the business. I'm so thankful for the amount of time that you spent with me today. It's something that I will cherish, and I'm very, very thankful. But, man, we get to watch the 49ers play football tomorrow against another team. Can't wait. Can't wait. Until then, stay strong, faithful.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.